Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Friday at long last. It is officially the final day of WWDC. For those tuning in for the most important portion of the program, it is Friday, June 26th. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with me as always. And today I am joined by Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here as well. Now, Andrew, I wanted to start with you because one of the things that we've had this week as WWDC, Monday, we got some looks at what the new versions of macOS and iOS are going to look like. And part of that included security features. So since it's Friday, we're going to talk a little bit about some of that.
Yeah, so here are three of the biggest features that people will see. So first off, Apple is changing the way apps can request your location again, because in iOS 13, they added it so that if an app is using your location in the background, you'll see a pop up eventually that says, do you want to continue allowing this? So there will be a new kind of addition to that. Now with iOS 14, you'll be able to have the apps use your approximate location. And Craig Federighi had this really cool interview with Fast Company where he says Apple did this by they divided the whole planet into regions about 10 square miles in size. And so that is the approximate location. The app will just know where you are within, say, 10 miles and not precisely. You can still go back and have it do precise location, which is probably better for certain kinds of apps. But now you can do approximate.
Which I think is very cool. And I very much like the idea that that could be an option. And I've also appreciated finding out. So far, I haven't had any surprises from that notification about this app has used your location X times in the last 3 days. Do you want to keep doing that or not? So I feel like I sort of win at some of the privacy information for that reason. So that was one of them. What else do you have?
So we talk about Facebook a lot on the show, right?
We do.
Specifically, one thing that a lot of people say is that I just got this highly targeted ad. Is Facebook or Instagram, you know, accessing my microphone? Well, in iOS 14, if an app has recently accessed or is using your microphone or camera, there will be a little indicator light up in the upper menu bar, just to give you a little bit more transparency into that.
That's awesome.
And this is kind of already similar to what we have in the MacBook. If your webcam is activated, you'll see that little green light. Yeah. So it's kind of that same concept.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's very cool. All right, cool. I like the idea of that being a thing that people can see very clearly. That's always good.
Yeah, I really like it. Another thing is in the App Store, developers will have to, well, I don't think they have to. I think this is kind of like an honor-based system. There will be a section in an app's page, probably at the bottom, I think, where a developer will have to list the type of data that they collect and that some data that could be used to tie to your identity. Apple says they were kind of inspired by nutrition labels where you can see, you know, everything that's going on in the food. Well, now you should be able to see all or at least some things that are going on within the app.
Yeah, I think they said that because they can't admit that they were inspired by the Google Play Store, because I've seen that in the Google Play Store where it says, like, this app wants to access your address book, your microphone, your inbox, whatever. And like it shows up on the page before you ever download the app. It tells you, like, these are the things it's going to ask you for, and you have to say okay or not. So I appreciate that's one thing that I have found I guess, amusing about the Android ecosystem is that everything says on it, like, this is all the stuff it wants from you. And yet we still see all these, you know, breaches and lapses and other sorts of badly handled security and privacy issues that continue to come out of that ecosystem. So I always thought that was interesting that, like, it tells you up front, this is all the stuff it wants from you. And yet, you know, it doesn't seem to help that much, I guess. So, yeah. So I'm glad to see it in the Apple App Store, because I've had things like request access and sort of been suspicious about why.
Yeah. So this will be a nice update in that front. So here's why. And then just go back to the app page.
Yeah. And I like being able to be informed about what I'm downloading. Like, you know, it's very clear why Pokemon Go wants my location data. It's maybe less clear why my email app wants my location data. You know, but it might be more clear why it would want access to my contacts, and it's less clear why Pokemon Go needs my contacts. You know what I mean? So I very much like the idea of having these things be something we can find out more about even before you download the app. So it doesn't have to turn into, like, this app won't function unless it wants my location. I don't want to give it. Now I have to go delete the app instead of just not bothering to download it in the first place.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's up to developers. They self-report, right? But that almost makes it better in a sense that people will be able to manage their own reputation. Like, people will find, users will find out if app developers are not being transparent about what they're doing. Like,
oh,
that will come out.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, if we say we're not tracking you, but we actually are, that's far worse than just saying, yeah, we're tracking you and here's how we're doing it. You know, like, people might not have a problem with the latter that would most definitely have a problem with the former. So I like this. I mean, we'll see if Apple becomes the police here. But at the moment, I kind of like the, yeah, you know what? You do you. And that's now going to be between you and your users if you lie to them. So I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that actually leads into what I was going to say, which is this definitely doesn't replace the privacy policy. You
Not
can, if you want to check, compare what they say on their app page and then go back into their privacy policy and see what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and call it that, Andrew. You will be back on a future Friday to talk to us about a developer who's getting this completely wrong.
Possibly.
I hope no one is. I would, you know, again, it is our fondest wish to be like, yeah, Security Friday this week, we got nothing. But that's that's not usually the case. So, yeah. All right. Now, was there anything else, Andrew, that we wanted to highlight? Because a lot of this in particular is iOS data, iOS things that we're talking about as far as privacy information.
Actually, yeah. I'm pretty sure those features you'll also see on macOS. Something that I definitely know will be on both operating systems is in Safari. There will be a new button at the top in the tab bar, and it's a privacy report. So for each website, you know, there are extensions that do this already, but it's nice to, you know, have it built in. And it basically just tells you all the kind of trackers that were blocked on that website.
Okay. And was this one also self-reporting? Like, if there was other information, is it up to web developers to provide it to this extension? Okay.
The impression that I got was this is just what is going on.
Okay. That was the thing that I was curious about. So yeah, I'm interested in that because I like anything that makes it so that I can not have to have as many extensions installed in Safari. And so I'm hoping that maybe this will be a thing that I can use to get rid of at least one, maybe more than one, at least as far as my laptop is concerned. So that would be super great. So, all right. Andrew, thank you for giving us security updates. The other thing that we will do right here is take a moment to say, the things that we are talking about are things that are in the developer releases of iOS and macOS. And if you are not currently developing an app for iOS or macOS, you should probably wait to install these until the public beta happens, which is usually next month. And, you know, we're not far from next month, but usually the public betas are mid to late July. Dave, is that about when we see them?
There's usually a few developer releases before public beta happens. And then they basically are kind of on a weekly schedule from there. I will say we did a whole episode about all the different stuff that John and I are experiencing in the public betas. The developer betas.
The developer betas.
Of things. Yes. Yeah. And this week on Mac Geek Gab. And, you know, the one thing I will say is it is beta software. I have found bugs. I am not surprised by this. But what I am surprised by is just how stable these are. They are not perfectly stable, but they are way more stable betas for first betas than we've seen in a very long time. And I attribute that to the fact that Apple's developers didn't need to spend a whole lot of time preparing to deliver live talks. They were able to deliver produced talks, which is a whole different beast. There's probably just as much work put into it, but I think it can be spread out.
Right. It doesn't all have to be the 2 weeks before or whatever. Yeah.
And it also doesn't have to be one person, right? Like you can go and record your session and now you have a professional video editor that's going to go and stitch this together in a meaningful way. You don't have to memorize your talk necessarily.
Right.
You can stumble and fix and then they can go and patch it all together. And so my guess is that, you know, that's an efficient use of an engineer's time to have that done. So my guess is that that's what happened. I don't know that, but it sure seems that way.
Yeah. I generally don't install the developer betas, but even when I do, I like to adhere to what was told to me as the Star Trek movie rule of betas, which is to forsake all the odd numbered ones and only really pay attention to the even numbered ones. I find this a good plan. So you are welcome to use the same rule as well if you so desire. So that's going to do it for us for Security Friday anyway. Again, thank you, Andrew, for coming by. I love when we get these updates and I like being able to tell people about it. I'm also going to take a minute and tell everybody now about our sponsor. Our sponsor this week is iMazing. iMazing Configurator is their new product. And if you're not familiar with iMazing, it probably means you haven't listened to either this show or Geek Gab for very long, because Dave and I both have have organically espoused the joy that is iMazing just on our own. I think that's a pretty fair assessment. It's a really popular device manager. The thing that I particularly enjoy from it is that it is much easier to back up and manage backups on an iOS device if you're using iMazing to do it, because it'll back up everything. It'll back up your voicemail. It'll back up your text messages. It'll do all kinds of backing up. And you can use that for example, you do decide to install a developer beta or a public beta. And if you ever want to make sure that you have the option to roll back to the publicly released operating system, you can have that 100% backup stashed on your hard drive. And then, you know, if you don't have Wi-Fi, it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about the cloud backup taking forever because your signal is crap or whatever. So it's a really, really great device. It's a really, really great utility to have on your computer. It's available for both Mac and Windows. So if you're one of those people who does tech support for people, you should know there's a Windows version as well. And now they've got iMazing Configurator, which allows you to supervise, configure, and provision those iOS devices. You can batch this up to 20 at a time. You can pre-populate Wi-Fi networks and passwords with profiles. You can create a blueprint of one device, image the rest. You can do an OS update on all those devices at the same time. It's very, very easy. It'll do even custom apps. You can run battery diagnostics. You can do all kinds of great stuff with it. And you can get a free trial of it at iMazing, iMazing.com/configurator. Again, that's iMazing.com/configurator. Go get your free trial and get those devices managed. That's definitely a good way to do it. And I'd like to thank iMazing for sponsoring the show this week. We've appreciated them. And now, Dave, I would like to talk to you about the thing that you came by to talk to us about today, and that is the Macworld All-Star Band.
It is. Yeah. The Macworld All-Star Band's been busy the month of June. It all started with a very innocent, I'll presume innocent, text from a listener of many of our shows. I think Terry Austin listens to this show. Terry yes. texted me,
Hi, Terry.
Messaged me. Yeah. And said, hey, you know, I'm paraphrasing, although I could probably easily pull up the thing. But, you know, the Macworld All-Star Band should do something. You guys are, you guys have always been a source of inspiration for the community when you were playing. The Macworld All-Star Band used to play at the now defunct Macworld Conference and Expo or Macworld Expo or whatever it was called on any given year's.
Yeah.
And so he said, you should, you know, like you now that we're all in quarantine, you guys could do one of these, you know, socially distanced recordings and release it. And I liked the idea, but not on the surface, not for actually delivering it. It was more, we have a little text group amongst us, Macworld All-Star, reformed Macworld All-Star band members, if you want to call it that. And, and you know, it flares up every 8 months or so, right? There's something one of us will notice and then we chat for 3 or 4 days and then it sort of, you know, dives back down as we go, yeah, go back to our normally scheduled lives. And so, you know, I'm like, wow, this would be a great thing to just share with the group. It's an excuse for us all to check in with each other, see how we're all doing in quarantine. And, you know, this is whatever, 6 or 8 weeks ago. And so I did that. And it took about a week and a half for the idea to actually germinate. It did what I intended it to do. It started a conversation and then it you know, kind of derailed into various other things like I expected it to.
Yeah.
And then it sort of came back around like, hey, what that thing, though? And so everybody recorded video and audio on their own or with, you know, their quarantine mates, their family members or whatever, and then sent it all sent everything to me. But I didn't do anything with the video except send it along to Wally Chirwinski, who had filmed and also coordinated the filming of many of our Macworld All-Star Band gigs with multi-cam shots and everything like that. And he did a stellar job. Yeah. And so I was like, well, if we're going to do this, I know who to bring in. And I had had a conversation with Wally and said, like, you know, will you be our bandmate on this project, Wally? And he said, of course, you know. So he was in, everybody was in. So everybody sent me their tracks and we did the song. We chose to do the song Feeling All Right. We felt like, you know, it kind of had the at least, you know, from a 10,000 foot view, sort of the right vibe and a nice, you know, kind of happy, positive message to send. It was always a highlight of the night when we would play it at the Cirque du Mac parties. And yeah. And so we picked that tune, but it also had lots of verse lyrics, which meant at the gigs, Chris Breen would always just sing lead on the tune, you know. And so for this, I figured, well, if it's just one song, let's get everybody to sing lead and then we'll kind of chop it up and give everybody a few lines of the tune. And this song had lots of lines and they don't really make sense together anyway. It's this, if any of you are singers out there, like for me, this song is one of the very few songs that, try as I might, I cannot commit the whole thing to memory. It just, I know the couplets, but I do not know the order and it just doesn't stick. So, it's sort of this disjointed thing. I mean, Dave Mason wrote this song when he was like 16 or something, like, you know, it's freaking about some girl that, you know, that turned him down or whatever. It's literally two chords that just go back and forth through the whole song. It's like, there's nothing to it. And yet, you know, it turned into this huge thing, especially once Joe Cocker's piano player got a hold of it and all that stuff. But so we did it, and 46 tracks in Logic, 6 buses in Logic, and I think 26 video files to Wally later.
Wow.
It's finished. I mean, it came out. Yeah. And I'm really proud of it. I think it highlights everybody in a stellar way. It really just, I think it captures each person as they are, which is just fantastic. And so it's the band is Chris Breen, as I mentioned, Brian Chaffin, Paul Kent, Chuck Latornis, Bob Levitis, and Dwayne Straub, and of course me. My daughter, Skylar, the sort of side benefit of this whole thing was I wrote my daughter in to do some of the filming of me, And then it's turned out that she's a very good producer in the studio. I have a real trouble recording vocals and making them sound like I can sing them in tune and all of that. But I have a hard time being objective about like, okay, well, that's great. Like technically, you know, either you did good or you didn't. And if you didn't, you do it again.
Right.
Technically fine. But beyond that, it is it good? Like, does it have like the emotion and whatever vibe it's for? I'm very, 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 I find that very hard to do. So she became my vocal producer. And then because she was in the studio with me here at the house, she wound up doing a bunch of the mixing and really a lot of the production and choosing the vocal parts of who sang what, because I had everybody sing everything. And then we just sort of decided, okay, who sounds great on each line? And that's the person that sings that line. So
that's great.
It came together. It was, like I said, I'm really proud of it. It's the first song I've ever mixed soup to nuts from an audio perspective. And so to bite off 46 tracks was probably a little more than I should have done.
Yeah, but maybe.
I learned a ton. I mean, I really,
oh, of course,
like, you know, I mean, yeah, how I
could, you'd I have don't know to,
how you could yeah. do that. You have to. Yeah. It was by necessity. So yeah. So
that's awesome.
It's up at macworldallstarband.com. And we are pulling together, the video's there. You can go watch it. And there's a link right on the site there to donate to the Music Cares COVID Relief Fund. Musicians, anybody that performs live in front of people, that has been a thing that we cannot do. You know, like I had my first gig last night since March 6th. Thankfully, I don't rely on music for my chief income. I certainly appreciate the money I get from it. Don't get me wrong, but it does. It is not usually the thing that puts food on my table. But for a lot of musicians, it is.
Yeah.
And they've been out of work just like I had in that regard. And so the Music Cares COVID Relief Fund has been really doing some great things to make sure that, you know, money gets into people's hands and all that stuff.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So go check it out. And that's going to do it for us today. So, now that we're done with the podcast, you can go over there and watch the video. So, Dave, thanks for coming by to tell us about that.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Andrew, as always, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yeah, and if you have tips for us, if you have other things that you've discovered in developer betas or anything else that you want to make sure we know about, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and even just leave comments in the show notes. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.